for your Mother's Day lesson is the secular worldview deny the deity of Christ. And so the four most groups most active in promoting this view are atheists, cults and other religions, liberals, and people who are just plain ignorant. Sometimes I wonder, did they even read the Bible? Because they come up with these funny things like, oh, well, he was a good teacher. Well, he had a good moral view of life and things. But was he really God? Was he really God? Why is this important? If he said he was God and he knew he was not God, then he was a liar. If he claimed to be God and he didn't know he was not God, then he was insane. If he really was God, then we need to pay close attention because he was Lord of all. So that's the point. This is, if he was a liar, then he was also a hypocrite because he told others to be honest, whatever the cost. He told others to trust him for their eternal destiny. And his claim to be God led him to his crucifixion. Now, this is in apologetic circles. This is an important question. Well, you know, what was he? And C.S. Lewis, who started out not being a Christian, said, "A man who was merely a man and said the things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic, on level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell." Now, that's pretty strong there. And we know that in the scriptures, he was accused of being, of having a devil. Now you must make your choice. Either the man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something else. So I'm going to start with, very clear passages, and we'll try to follow through on that. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, this is verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In same chapter down in verse 32, we read, John the Baptist bare this record. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And if you read that thoroughly through, it was the next day he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So here, right off, one of Jesus' close associates, John, the apostle, not John the Baptist, testifies that God was deity. Continuing on, Matthew adds as his voice to this, he says, and a voice from heaven at the baptism of Jesus says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So God's Son is a theme there. The Son of God is equivalent to being this being a deity. In Psalm, this is a written by David many many centuries before Christ appeared on earth. I have verses 2 through 3 and then 7. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And so there, David prophesying that God's Son would be the Messiah. Then we have the angel to Mary here on this Mother's Day. And in Luke 1:31, 32 and 35, we have these words. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Better stick with this. I got the next one here. That's kind of sets the pattern, the Son of God. Whenever that's mentioned, you know, they the Pharisees went crazy. But here I have another one. So we've had David the prophet, and we've had John, and now we have a Satan. Somewhere he got the idea that this was the Son of God. So he's tempted of Satan, Matthew chapter 4 I used. And then when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And of course, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then the next one, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." And of course, he responded to that. So Satan somewhere picked up this idea that he was the Son of God, and he tempted him using that to try and get him to respond. But of course, he was not about to do that. I have another testimony. The people of the ship, when Peter was bade to walk on the water. So Jesus came and he got in the ship, and he had sent the disciples away in the ship, and he stayed on the land. And then it says in Matthew 14, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when he were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Now here we have actually two things here. You see somebody walking on the water, you might wonder whether they were something special. But then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now later, Peter was challenged again. And in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So there, Peter firmly believed that Jesus was the Son of God. The next instance where that I've selected to put on here, and this is the great Good Shepherd passage, the Feast of Dedication, John chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. I'm going to read the passage because when you see what all went on here, it shows very clearly what we need to demonstrate. Then, starting at verse 24, "And then the Jews round about him, then came the Jews round about him, and they said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Notice the connection between my Father and me, and this is, you know, my Father is God. And then he says this, I and my Father are one. Then, they understood, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those good works, or from which of those works do you stone me? And he said, and the Jews answered and said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So away we go. You can't say that Jesus didn't say that he was God. He did. So when he was questioned by the high priest, again, we find some interesting answers. And the high, this is Mark 14, 60 through 64. I just kind of pick and choose the verses I like that make the point. So he was questioned, and the high priest stood in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked, and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So he very clearly spoke to the high priest and told him, yep, that I'm he. And then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. So there we see direct statements. You can't read the Bible and, or at least those verses, and come up with any other conclusion that Jesus was saying that he was God, and people around him were saying that he was God. Later, we see his sinlessness is spoken of. You would expect if he were God that he would be one who was without sin. And 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19 testifies that. Now, here's this is Peter again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Later, in the next chapter, actually, 1 Peter 2, 21 through 22, he says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So Peter, he understood this, and when he wrote his epistles, he put that in there, that Christ did not commit any sin. He didn't do it. John talks about his sinlessness also. And in 1 John 3, 5, we find these things. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Yeah, if he's a sinner, how could he take away our sins? So John testifies that he had no sin, and he came to take away our sins. Now, we have another character here, kind of an interesting person to be testifying about his sinlessness, and that is Judas, after he betrayed Christ. And this is found in Matthew 27, 3 through 4. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. So here's Judas. Boy, after he did what he did, he knew he had done wrong. And so therefore, his testimony stands with these, that he knew that Jesus really was God. There's times that he claimed equality with the Father. We saw the one where he says, I and the Father are one. And in John 10, going back to that one, maybe that is the same one we use. My Father gave me them, is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones to stone him. So that one we've seen. But in John 10, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. This is actually the section called He Claimed Power Over Life and Death. So he claims that he can lay down his life and take it up. He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Do you think that somebody who wasn't really God could have that kind of a power? That'd be a long stretch for me. But then he goes further and he says in John 11, 25, Jesus said unto her, that is Lazarus' sister, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So Jesus claims not to be able to do resurrection, but he claims that he is the resurrection. And that means that he can raise up those to life. Matthew 17, 22 and 23. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. So here he claims that they're going to come and kill him, and then he's going to rise again on the third day. And this is a prophecy that, you know, it hadn't been fulfilled yet. So he was saying this, and it hadn't happened yet. And then he did it. So we know that, at least according to these scriptures, then God, Jesus was God, and he had the power to do the things that God can do. And so those that doubt this are simply ignorant, or they're not reading it, or they're hostile to it, and they don't want to admit that that Jesus was God. All right, so Jesus claims, when he was here, he claimed that he had power over life and death, and he claims that he had power, or he showed that he had power over the physical world. He changed water into wine. If you remember that story, took one physical thing and changed it into something else. And the normal people don't do that. I don't know. We studied the atoms earlier. Maybe there's a rearrangement of atoms in that. I don't know. We know the stories that he calmed the storm when they were out in the boats. Peace be still, and the storm went away. He caused the blind to see. Now, that's something that ordinary men can't do without something else. So he only did it with a little clay on the man's eyes, and the blind to see. And he didn't do this just once. He did it many times, as they speak. The lame to walk, that story is, you read that one, man was lame from birth, and Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man's walking around. People say, aren't you the guy that was lame? And he says, I am. Well, how do you walk now? Well, Jesus healed me. Well, how do you do that? Bring him to us. We want to question him. And it wasn't, oh, we're so happy for you that you can walk now. I'm glad that Jesus did this. No, they were worried that everybody was going to follow, and they didn't want him to talk about it or anything, because they knew that if they started talking about Jesus and what he was doing, that everybody would get suspicious, and they would come and try to do so. They would take away their place. But we also have that he fed over 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Now imagine that. That would be quite a feat. But it also says they took up the fragments that remained, and there were 12 baskets. Now, he also did this again later. He fed 4,000. So it wasn't just a one-time thing. If you're a science person, you know, you do something and you claim that you did something and people say, well, is it repeatable? Well, in this case, he did it again. So it wasn't a story. And these people were there. They saw this. You know, there wasn't anybody that went home and said, nah, it was just a trick. They were hiding it under the table or whatever. No, he really did do these things. And we see that Jesus raised three people from the dead, the daughter of Jairus, the son of a widow in Nain, and then Lazarus. So this is his power over the physical world to even raise people from the dead. No trick here. And he was crucified. He was buried. And he rose again. That's not a trick that somebody does. Not something that they there was no dispute about it. After that happened, you know, he never had to go around. The disciples never had to go around defending the resurrection. In fact, most everybody knew about it in that area. But when Paul got up into Athens and talked about the resurrection, they said, what? Nah, that didn't happen, really. And so they sent people to find out if it really did happen because they hadn't heard that it had happened. So, but mostly the people that were involved in that, they knew it had happened. He was there for 40 days after raising from the dead, and he rose again. And then, if that wasn't enough, he went out and he ascended up into heaven in the sight of numerous witnesses. So you can't do that if you're just a mere man. But these are interesting miracles, and you know, everybody likes miracles, and we look for miracles, we look for signs. But why did he come in the first place? Did he just come here to do miracles? Was he a magic man that came and put on a show? No. What was he here to do? So we're going to look at that for a moment. We're going to look here. Jesus, and this is John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then spake Jesus again unto them, John 8:12, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. Do men make this claim ordinarily? These are claims that Christ made that mere men don't go doing. And Jesus said unto them this is John chapter 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Know anybody that talks like that now? Jesus did. But in John 4:14, he says, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's not a claim that any ordinary man would make. He could never fulfill it. Come unto me. This is Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's not a claim that most people could make and fulfill. Luke 19, we get into more of what his mission here on earth was. He says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So he had a big mission. The reason that he did some of the miracles was so that he could authenticate that he was God, that he could do these things. And all of these miracle type things to show that he was God, and then offer them eternal life. John 18:37, when he's before Pilate, he gets this. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. And he says, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." So he came, he wanted people to hear the truth. You just go out, you know, talking about it, and nobody's going to listen to you. But if you're the guy that can actually do things, you can do the miracles, you actually have the power to do the miracles, you claim to be from God, you can do these things too. So they will listen to the truth. This is Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15. It says, "And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So there was the mission that Christ came to do when he came to earth, and he had to get his message out. And so miracles was one way to authenticate himself and to make sure that everybody knew that he was who he said he was. John 20:31, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And then I put this one in, one favorite verse, John 3:18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And there we have the connection. He was the one that came to do this. He was the one we have to place our faith and our trust in, that he was going to die on the cross. He was going to shed his blood, and that was going to be the thing that was going to buy our salvation. He was buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, and there we have the complete gospel, and he offers it to you as a free gift. The scriptures are clear. Jesus claimed to be God. He told others to trust him for their eternal destiny. He says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So standing out amongst all of the religious leaders of the entire world, there is not another one that did these things, that had the power to do these things, and there's no other name. You can't find one where it offers salvation. And then I'm wrapping back to what I said in the beginning. He told others to trust him for their eternal destiny. And C.S. Lewis, as I mentioned in the beginning, "A man who was merely a man and said these things, the things that Jesus said, would not be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic or on level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell." Now we offer, you must make the choice. Either the man was the Son of God, a madman, or something else. And that's quick, to the point, I believe, I hope. And what I think I'll do for my when I re-edit this, I'll make it a bit longer and add more things into it. But this gets to the point. So, Pastor, I believe I'm going to let you have it back over again. You have plenty of time left on the clock.
So how many are disappointed we're getting out early? Nobody? Oh, okay. Good job, Dave. Do tell him if you appreciated this, if you thought it was worthwhile. And I believe it certainly was worth our time to be here to hear that, not only for him, but for us.